You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. That was a wrinkle in something, I'll tell you what.
it was a wrinkle in a long time.
There was the one thing there wasn't a wrinkle in this movie was in Reese Witherspoon's face. Nary a wrinkle to be seen. No.
He CGI'd that shit up.
Yeah. Right? The magic of CGI. It was a lot more realistic than when she turned into the flying lettuce monster.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know. That's one of those moments in a film where if you were a character in the film, you'd be like, just, ooh, no. What is happening? Why are you doing this?
Exactly.
This serves no purpose.
I know this is supposed to be magical, but
that felt like animation from like VeggieTales or something. That was bad.
It's like all these like three goddess characters, whatever, in this that all feel like they come from the same world that Willy Wonka absconded from, where they just do shit because.
The planet of Quirk.
Yeah, exactly. It's the planet of like 90s screensavers, that also has a side business of selling office inspirational posters.
wait a minute. Were you just seeing like three flying toasters up there?
Right. And the cat with the nya cat. We're reviewing A Wrinkle in Time. I'm Chris.
I know.
I'm Miguel.
And I really, really wanted to like this movie a whole lot. I really did. I did come in with, high expectations because the reviews had already started to come out very mixed.
Like it's people,
yeah. And so I was like, damn it. Okay. Go in with lower expectations. Probably doesn't help that the movie starts with Ava DuVernay begging you to think about this like as if you were a little kid.
I'm thinking that was hopefully they just do that for the screeners because, yes, that got a little noisome.
Yeah. I was just like, I turned to Martin. I was like, so what she's saying is, turn your brain off, asshole. I was like, that feels sounds suspiciously like them saying, try not to think about it too much.
And here's the thing. Ava DuVernay, she is an excellent documentarian. You know, she's done some wonderful documentaries. And she did a slam-bang-up job with Selma. I think that's like the best, you know, film treatment of MLK that I can think of.
Mm.
Easily hands down, and it doesn't fall into the pitfalls of a biopic. Now she's really trying to do something that is not within either of those wheelhouses at all. Mm-hmm. And I think this picture might suffer a bit for the fact that she's helming it, not because she's bad, but because she's doing it for the first time. And there are some obvious fails, like we've already pointed out. There's some kind of cheesy looking special effects in here, especially. And
some weird decisions.
There's some weird decisions, and you know, a lot of the action in this feels very pat and stilted because she hasn't directed an action movie before. Mm-hmm. And so it's not as, you know, amazing as it really needs to be. And this is a kid's book from 1962. For it to rise above to something, you know, Harry Potter-ish level,
sure,
you need a lot of charm. And There's something lacking.
As Miguel said, you just reread this, right?
Yeah, I just read it, you know, within the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow. So
we're looking forward to this movie because I wanted to enjoy it, like you were saying. Ava DuVernay, I think, is an amazing director. Like you said, with Selma, she made Martin Luther King an actual person, yeah, not just a character, not just, you know, we see him at his worst and at his best.
So. Right.
So, and then also with 13th. It was a great documentary.
Yeah.
So I wanted to really like this movie, and I'm tilting. I don't know which way I'm leaning right now.
I would have loved for this to be a hat trick for her. It's just like, holy shit, she can do all three. But, yeah, you know, maybe not, or maybe this will be a learning curve for her, and she'll go on to do, you know, something else in this vein. But she's taking on a lot of stuff. She's taking on sci-fi movie, a movie with a lot of adventure and action, and a kids movie. And that's another thing that I kind of felt a little bit let down here, because the three kids who are the, you know, your main characters, the audience is supposed to sympathize with the most, they're very much out of Disney Central casting. And
Well, at least what they're asking of them.
Yes, yeah. And I imagine, like, if they were just making a Disney show or a Disney special, their chops would be more than capable. But they're asked to shoulder a lot in this, and they don't always come up to snuff.
Well, they're given, like, a script where they don't get a lot of great opportunities of dialogue.
No.
Like, the things to be very expressive. Most of the time, they're just reacting to every other character in the movie who speaks in nothing but pure exposition. Like 80% of the script is people explaining things that don't actually make sense.
Yeah.
You know? And to try and get you from point A to point B in the movie, which comes rather rapidly as it goes from one kind of abstract scenario to the next.
A little too rapidly, because you never really... like, I didn't feel the connection with characters that you really want to carry through in a story like this.
Well, speaking of the story, though,
a lot of the stuff was kind of felt unearned.
Let me say, Storm Reid, young actress, plays Meg Murray, who is our primary protagonist here. We first meet her 4 years before she is the age she is in the movie, which is about 14 or so, which is a proper age. Her actual actress age. And we find out her father, who she was very close with, played by Chris Pine, it was a famous astrophysicist who, as was her mother, but he just one day disappeared. And it's been a mystery all along what happened to him. And it kind of totally disrupted her life. She's not the same person she was. She's lost joy.
Yes. And it's just like, you know, anyone who's lost their you know, parents at you know, any point during their extreme youth is going to react.
Yeah. Really the only real relationship she has that has any worth in her life to her, it seems like, is with her younger adopted brother, who everyone calls, whose name is Charles Wallace, and his middle name is Wallace. I was like, this feels like that scene in Coffee and Cigarettes with Bill Murray. And it was, I don't know what, because it's like, his name is Charles. Why does everyone insist on calling him Charles Wallace?
Because it's quirky. Weird.
I guess. But he's like a little kid who's like, they keep saying he's a total genius. He's going to be a mega genius. Yeah. And so, of course, he's annoying in movie terms.
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't find him annoying. I found him endearing.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, good. Because I just felt like the timbre of his voice, especially, was just like kind of grating on me.
But so they've kind of teaming up against the world in their own way, despite being very different from each other.
The world
themselves.
Being their respective schools, and the fact that
not the universe.
You know, she was a very successful A student, and it's kind of hinted at that she was very popular. And then after her dad died, she didn't go into full on goth mode, but she's definitely one of the school weirdos at this point. And you know, Christopher Wallace is a smart young man, and so of course he is
Charles Wallace.
Charles Wallace, he is of course hated.
So one day out of nowhere, basically witches show up, led by originally Reese Witherspoon as Miss Whatsit, and then later by the only talking in other people's aphorisms, Mindy Kaling, and eventually Oprah Winfrey. I felt so bad because I know Oprah's been trying so hard to keep the weight off. Just kidding. She's like 20 feet tall.
Size does not matter. So I think they meant that.
I think I heard an audible gasp from you when they said size doesn't matter.
I
think your eyes rolled in the back of your head.
Yeah, I bet Oprah likes that. Although I bet Mindy Kaling was pissed when she read the script, and she was just, I'm just quoting other people, motherfucker!
But I found it very interesting the way Ava DuVernay, or whoever wrote the script, or was it Ava that wrote the script?
Jennifer Lee and Jeff Stockwell.
Okay, so whoever, they changed it up a little bit from the novel in that, you know, obviously, because she's quoting Outkast.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's really, not 1962.
Yeah, exactly.
And did the original book take place in America, or was it okay?
Yeah, it was like it kind of had like a New Orleans vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And what I thought was cool is that Ava, you know, or the screenwriters, they have a lot of social commentary in here, because in the book, she'll quote the person who said it, and she'll just say the name or where it's from, like
right.
what book, what project it's from. But in the movie, they talk about where the person is from, like from what country.
Yeah. Right.
That's got to be like a direct notice or whatever to like Donald Trump and all that sort of stuff.
Sure, quite possibly. Say like we're in one world.
Yeah.
I mean, because right. if anything, this movie was desperately trying to be as inclusive as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah.
To a point where even towards the end, I was like, okay, we get it. It's starting to get to the point where it's like everyone's just got is wearing actual bumper stickers on their costumes for things, you know? Anyway, I'm like, good, but still. Maybe subtlety, a little subtlety.
And that's the thing. It's so, as we know, there are two sides to the mouse.
Yeah.
You get the side which is, you know, so fucking charming that you're like, I know you're a monster, Disney, but I love you anyway. And then there is this is kind of more towards what you see in TV and what is very marketed towards, you know, directly to young kids via the internet, the schmaltzy side of Disney.
Sure. And this is definitely falling more.
Yeah. It falls more on that side, which is a shame, because if there's anything this movie needs, it's that charm where you're just like, I'm just going to relax and go on the magic ride.
And it's the thing where like, you know, so the witches, they're like, well, we'll help you find your father. He's lost in space because he figured out how to dimensionally travel with using his mind.
Yeah. The name of the movie comes from the fact that basically, you know, they decided that you know, you can fold space if you can figure out the frequency of love.
Yeah.
I'm not shitting. That's the real thing.
When it gets to the point, you know, like very early on, like, oh, there's an evil thing in space. I was like, there's a point where I'm like, so you, and love is the sequel, how you beat it and everything. I was like, this is taking place the same time as The Fifth Element, isn't it? This is just happening in another part of the galaxy we don't see.
Yeah.
This nameless thing that's evil, don't worry about it, that is there threatening him. But really, is the banality of evil, the
yeah.
thing that makes people act like assholes.
Yeah
exactly. And it's not even, you know, like, I caused the Holocaust, evil.
Yeah.
It's like, I made you feel jealous of your coworker.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job of explaining actually what was going on, you know, how they're able to fold time. And I think that could have been a real cool part if they show that, but they just kind of breezed over that. And I don't know if it's because I think this isn't meant for us guys. I mean,
yeah, that's
meant
true. For children. It is definitely aimed for kids, but there are plenty of movies that are aimed at kids
Yeah, I'm not going to give something a pass just because they're saying, hey, it's for kids.
Yeah, and that's one of the things is this movie never seems to really trust itself as to what it wants to be very verbose in its exposition, and then stuff it just wants us to take for granted. And it's like, well, you can't really play both sides of that fence.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, if you're not going to trust us, that's great. Give us a lot of exposition and tell us what's going on. If not, you know, show, don't tell better.
It's one of those, like, you had a lot, there's a lot of good ideas here, but nothing to make them all tie together in any way.
Yeah.
You just kind of stumble from one thing to the next, to the point where you're showing me things that are really abstract, and maybe not spending anywhere near as much money as you should have on the special effects for said things a lot of the time, it's just laughable. You're like, okay, like, I come back to Reese Witherspoon as Flying Lettuce Woman, where you're just like, what is that?
Yeah. Exactly.
And even in the story, you're like, so what was the point of that entire sequence?
Yeah. We're kidding. Yeah. We're going to do a little aerial recon, and then we're going to land right back where we started.
Exactly.
Yes, because in the book,
just scare the shit out of young, young Levi Miller, who is one of those, who's a young actor I'm actually kind of excited about. He was the lead in the Christmas horror movie Better Watch Out, where he fucking nailed it. You're like, God damn, this kid is a kid to watch. And here, he's always on the verge of feeling like he's about to be a really interesting character.
Yeah.
And they just, most of the time, he just has to stand there and just kind of look at what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
I was going to say, in that scene with the flying lettuce monster, in the book, they go up there to show them, well, in the book, they call it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's copyright infringement in the actual movie. They have to call it the It.
Yeah.
So there's a reason for it. And all they have to do is say this is why I'm taking you up there. But they don't even do that.
Yeah.
So, like, so you get the point where you're like, well, why did they even go up there in the first place?
Yeah.
So the little small, like, missteps like that really detracted from the movie.
Yeah. It's weird how they kept referring to it as the it. I kept waiting for one of the characters that's kind of possessed by it, like, of which there's a couple in
here.
Don't
say it. Say the
to
it.
To go, like... You know, we all float up here. I mean, you could not think it. It was too recent. There's, like, great people. There's, like, Zach Galifianakis. Michael Pena has kind of one of the more fun little parts in this thing.
I really like Michael
Pena. Guga Mbatha-Raw, who's such a wonderful actress, who you're like, why are you here? They give you nothing to do. And what moment you do, you're like, wow, you're one of the best actresses in the business. But that was almost nothing.
Yeah, young up-and-comers, don't ever play a mom in a Disney movie. It's just so thankless.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're just lucky if you're even alive.
Yeah.
Your mom in a Disney story.
That's true. She almost wasn't.
I'm a little disappointed in it because, and I'm sorry that I keep going back to the book, but it's fresh in my mind.
Well, that's good though. You
got
that perspective.
Because I think we're running the gamut here because I have never read a word of Madeline Lincoln.
Okay.
So
in the book, they give Kate Murray, who was the mom, they gave her so much agency. Like, she is a scientist in her own right.
Yeah.
She has her own theory. She has a lab in her house in which she does all her experiments, and she cooks dinner in the lab on a Bunsen burner while she's doing her experiments. I mean, that's
nice.
Awesome.
That's cool.
She's a single mom doing her thing, you know, taking care of her kids, which in the book there's like three more kids than there are in the movie.
Well, she sounds like she's a much more interesting and like a rich character,
like,
in the book.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And in this movie she's two-dimensional. They detract from her character. And you have a director like Ava DuVernay, and I struggle to understand why they would do that. You know, like, if she's all for strong female characters, what happened there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually asked the same question. I feel like she put so much effort into really trying to make Meg Murray, the main character, like, as fleshed out as she possibly could, which, let's face it, Storm Reid looks like a young Ava DuVernay, like, a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it felt almost personal. Like, hey, you know, there are other characters in this movie, right? Like, or there should be, but there's not. Because certainly the three witches are cartoon cutouts, you know, which just, all they are is whatever their peculiarity is in the movie, pretty much. And a series.
And we don't get a lot, even though they are used for exposition. You never get... Like, I think maybe at one point there may be one of the characters says, like, so what exactly the fuck are you guys? But it's never really given any kind of explanation.
Right. They're like, we're warriors for, thing. The people who go around the universe. We do good stuff. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
God, basically, the cosmos is a giant game of tag. There's it and not it.
Nice reality you got here. Be a shame if something happened to it.
Be a shame if I don't know, folded us onto another planet or something.
All right, let's go to final thoughts. Miguel, why don't you get us started?
You know, with all its faults, I think I still liked it. It's an important movie, I think. Ava DuVernay was, the first African-American female director who was given a budget of over $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy about that. Some of the characters are great. I love seeing Mindy Kaling and stuff. Love seeing Michael Pena and stuff. And I don't know necessarily if we see those characters if it's a white actor or a white director. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know that. So... But besides the point, the movie's got to be fucking good. And the movie, to me, it was lacking a lot. So I was kind of disappointed in it. Right now, I'll give it like 5 jewel-crusted eyebrows out of 10.
Bo.
Yeah, I was definitely rooting for this. And unfortunately, it did come down in my, you know, even somewhat lowered expectations that failed to meet those. I will say that I do think this is a movie that you can bring your kids to, and that they may look back on fondly. That this is definitely at their level, and they're not gonna ask too many questions. But I think that most adults are gonna find it a little simplistic and a little pat, and like I said, more schmaltzy than charming, which is, you know, sad. But there you go. Sometimes sometimes not everything hits the bullseye.
True.
So I will give this 6.5 copies of Bartlett's Book of Quotations out of 10.
Yeah, I think pretty much dead on with what you guys are saying here. It's just, there is imagination going on here. There's just, it's like a bunch of people coming up with, ooh, you know what would be cool? And then nobody there who's like, okay, now let's write it all into a script where it makes any sort of sense. It's colorful. It's one of those things I could see having on in the background if I ever watched it again. Just, you know, one of those like, oh, it's pretty to look at. But that's about it, really. It's almost devoid of humor, with the one exception of Michael Pena has some nice moments in it. But he's in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and like, you know, they're like, well, we've got Zach Galifianakis on screen. We might as well have him crack a joke.
Yeah, but he doesn't really.
Yeah. Well, he does, and they fall flat.
Yeah.
Which is, man, if you succeed in making Zach Galifianakis unamusing, well, there you go.
I just found this so thoroughly bland, but at the same time, it does look like nothing else you've seen. It's not always a good thing. It's like the Southland Tales of kids films, you know, where it's like, there's nothing else like it. That's for certain.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it a good thing per se, but you've never seen anything else like it. I guarantee you that. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 10 incredibly ecstatic members of the hair, makeup, and costuming department. Because, boy, did they get a workout on this film.
Yeah, it's pretty to look at.
Yeah, I can see why you would want to be cast in this. Like, how many incredibly bizarre and awesome flowing gowns do I get to wear in this movie? I'll do it. Yeah. Well, not me personally.
Right.
But, you know, I can sympathize.
Yeah.